Hi, this is the Seen and Heard podcast. This is your guide for everything music in and around Gosport, where we discuss interesting artists, gigs, and tackle some struggles people find in the local music scene. Join us on our journey through our magazine, podcast, and socials. Hi, Rosewater. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Hello.
How are you guys?
I'm great.
It's great.
Good.
Right, let's start from the beginning. How did you all come together to form the band?
I think Will has to answer this question.
Well, I read a book called Tom Gates, and I was like, and they started a band in it. This was like year six, and they started a band, and I was like, that'd be awesome. So that evening, I started getting drum lessons, and then Alex was the only musical person I knew, so I kind of forced him in year seven. And then Cam was like my best mate at the time. Not anymore, I hate him now. I'm not joking. No. And then Ava joined, and then Finn joined. We were at the start, we were Optimum, I think.
Do you remember why Optimum. We were called Optimum?
No. What was it?
I don't remember either, that's why I was asking you.
Oh, no. And then we were Adrenaline, and because... basically, there was a show that my sister used to watch called Glee, and there's a thing in it called Vocal Adrenaline. It wasn't me. And so, yeah, I took the name, and I was like, yeah, I'll have that. And then we changed to Rosewater, because it was
Orchards first for a bit.
Yes. For, like, ooh, 3 weeks.
So we liked that nature vibe, I guess, of, like, flowers and stuff.
Yeah, the floral kind of vibe.
So, yeah.
I used to collect those Tom Gates books, I think.
Everyone did that.
Okay, cool. The first time Maya saw you all play, it was in the Gosport Waterfront Festival in 2020.
Was it 2020?
I can't remember. We've never played Waterfront.
What was it?
We played Sunset in 23 September.
I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't 23 though. It was a while ago.
We played. Was it? Oh no, it wasn't Swanfest. Was it?
Played Swanfest. No, yeah, we've never played Waterfront.
Was it down at Gosport?
Walpole Park.
Yeah.
That was Sunset.
I think we were talking about the same gig.
Yeah,
I think I know. Was it the big tent? Didn't it blow away? The tent blew away at the end of the festival.
No, that was Swanfest. A guy called Tinchy Strider.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting mixed up.
The whole thing collapsed on him.
That's very sad. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
How have you grown as a band since then? Since that gig?
Since that gig, I think going to college, like moving on from secondary to college, we've all developed as musicians and had those being taught to harbour our skills, I think.
And I think another thing like that is like when we went to college, we worked with different musicians like other than each other. So the stuff we learned with everyone else, we kind of brought that back into Rosewater, and we all just improved individually, and that like helped to
because
like
strengthened your bond as a band.
Because like 5 years for 5 years or so during or like 4 years during when we were at Crofton, it was we'd only play with each other.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I think we all really just found our sound. Like, working with other people, it got us these new ideas. And, yeah, it's just fun because now we get to explore different genres together.
Yeah.
And we've got more knowledge.
Which artists or bands have had the biggest impact on your music?
Do you want me to? I think you two are gonna say this.
Individual as a band, I think as a band.
Well, I'll go through one, but I think you two are gonna say this. 1975, absolutely. I think they're a band, but we've caught them live twice, and they've just been amazing in like all aspects live. I think
personally for me, it's 5 Seconds of Summer. They're my favourite band. I love them, and I love like just the drumming. It's I don't know. I just love it.
So specifically just the drumming in that band?
No, to be fair.
Or is it just as a whole?
As a whole. And also, like, Rush.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I love listening to Rush. And, like, to be fair, I couldn't even name, like, 5 songs. I could name, like, 2 songs. But, I don't know, just the drumming's amazing. It's just inspirational.
What is it?
Oh,
inspirations. I'd say Arctic Monkeys, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Yeah.
I think, I mean, Yeah, I'd also say the 1975, because, well, Alex was actually the one to get me into them, but just seeing how well they navigated through different styles, it was just so cool to me. And what about you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely for our first EP, well, at least for the songs that I wrote for that EP, I felt like I was obsessed with that band. Like, genuinely, I to be fair, I still am, to be honest, but I loved the 1975, and I still do. With some of this, like, newer stuff, I mean, a lot of the time, I've been thinking about, like, Inhaler and stuff like that. I've been really trying to get, like, I really like their vibe and their sound, and so I've been really trying to get that kind of vibe going on. But yeah, and the Strokes. The Strokes is also up there as well.
Is it just other music that influences you, or can you get influenced by other creative outlets like film or photos?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I know
definitely.
That your aesthetic is a huge part of you.
Yeah, I think, well, how did the whole pink thing come about? Was it just...
I think we were just messing around with different colours. Oh, it was when we started to do our profile picture.
Yes.
Our new profile picture, and I was messing around on PixArt, which is literally the best thing ever. And I sent, like, it must have been like 20 different photos, 20 different versions.
And, we're like,
and no. I was like, this one, no, this one, no. And then we just found it, yes. And that's kind of how it
came
about.
Yeah, the whole pink thing we'd like stuck with on our Instagram. I think, as you said about, has film inspired us? I mean, this year especially, I think I've only started getting into film, so there's a lot of things I've had to catch up on. But like the coming of age movies and how they're soundtracked, I really like.
I'm gonna be honest, I think, like, nature, I think especially for, like, the aesthetic, it's like, wait, I can't remember where I was going with this.
Nature,
to be honest. Just like different things you see all around, and you kind of like, you grab that and you kind of like twist it into a different thing, like music.
Yeah.
And then
you do a lot of photo shoots in, like, the woods and stuff.
Yeah. And I think that's just, I think to me, that's a like, favourite place to kind of take them sort of band shots.
One of our first ever pictures is like you're climbing a tree and we're all stood around it. So like it's always been a thing.
Oh my god, yeah.
Trees and stuff. Just,
I think the whole nature thing, especially that picture from like a long time ago, it kind of ties in with like adolescence, I feel like, being in nature and stuff.
Because
I remember, yeah, exactly. Because I remember when, yeah, we would like take like photos at the little like grassy wood bit by this studio, like this like youth studio that we used to go to.
Oh, that
the
photo.
Y Services,
yeah, that photo, nice. And that was like our main. I mean, I think that was like our main photo for a solid like two years when we were still.
Well,
our
profile
school.
Picture was a Polaroid we took there, charity gig.
Yeah.
So what you said about like film and photography, I think Polaroids are definitely like this huge, huge thing about us. We really like digicam photos, anything to do with like old VHS. That's all really, really cool to us. Not just because of the aesthetic, but because of how you can capture that moment in time, take it home as a physical thing, not just as a thing on your phone. And you can use that for inspiration. And I mean, my room, you guys have all been in my room, it's absolutely covered in Polaroids, and it sparks so much creativity. I think I
feel like it all ties in very nicely, kind of the being in the moment thing with the nature, and it's a very, very consistent theme.
Congratulations on your EP.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Very cool.
If you haven't streamed it, then stream it, or I will.
Yeah. Yeah, be careful.
Can you tell us a bit about the inspiration for One of a Kind?
Yeah, I'll let Alex do this one first.
Loki, I was listening to a lot. Actually, it was literally the Harry Styles debut album I was listening to a lot, and I really liked his sort of like, I guess, like 60s, 70s rock feel about it. And yeah, when I was writing One of a Kind, I was like, I when I came up with that chord progression, it was such a basic and simple chord progression. And I was like, I feel like sometimes in a song, to make a song good, you literally just need like the most basic chord progression ever, and then you kind of just come up with, I mean, when I was writing the melody and stuff, I was just thinking, I just need to sound like pop, but with a rock, like, yeah, like it needs to be delivered in like rock music, but I wanted like the melody and everything to feel like a pop song, I guess, for me, and so that's kind of where it came about. Because honestly, it's quite a basic song, to be honest, and so, yeah, I just wanted to make a banger, you know.
Yeah. I think with the solo at the end, we did a session around yours.
Yeah. Oh my god, that session.
That was fun. No, so it just kept looping it on Ableton, where we recorded it, and I just kept playing different things. But I was inspired by a Beatles song and like one of the guitar techniques that George Harrison uses. So
you say he sat there for like an hour. Yeah. And he was just.
I was trying like reverb and like reversing the whole track.
Yeah.
And I was sat on the windowsill eating plums out of your window from the little tree. I didn't jump out. I tried to climb up, and then I fell down.
Yeah, I mean, my room was kind of. I feel like most of the production of that EP was literally just done in my room, and I think that's obviously it's not the most like professional place to make a record, but it's probably good for like in a personal sense, and I think it's good to feel like in a personal setting when you're writing songs that should be personal to you, yeah. You know,
and because we're surrounded by like just us, so there's not like someone that we don't really know. Can I hold it?
Yeah,
thank you. Beautiful. Because we're not with someone that we don't like really know, like trying to help us out with our music, which is great. Like it's always amazing to have like a new idea, but I think when we already know exactly what we want, like we know that like this is exactly how we want to do it. I think it's a lot better to be in like Alex said, like a personal space where the creativity just like flows from each other, and I think it just makes it feel more us.
I said it was very cozy.
Yeah.
In those sessions. Yeah.
I'm gonna hold this now.
So you do a lot of recording at home. Then how did you build up the skills to be able to do that?
We record drums at Fareham College because I don't have drum mics. I've got an electric.
Yeah,
drum,
I don't.
It's kind of bad. So yeah.
I mean, like Alex, you developed skills on Ableton for like years. You're always self-producing, weren't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've just loved production ever since I got Ableton when I was like 11 or something. So maybe I was like 12, I don't know. But yeah, I think being able to produce in your room is such like a, it's definitely like a really like freeing feeling to be able to make everything just at your fingertips in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Is there like a specific way that you taught yourself, like YouTube tutorials or?
Yeah, it's literally always just like YouTube tutorials, honestly. Like,
I mean, when we went around yours, when we were trying to figure out how to, going to Alex, when we were trying to figure out how to master the drums, like mix the drums and stuff, we were on Google for like half an hour,
yeah,
just trying to figure out like the right like image.
Yeah,
I want to face you. Yeah, image to like see where like the right frequency.
Yeah, because we're
go.
Still like constantly learning with these things.
And I think you always are. So
yeah. We're studying production at college. Like we get to develop them.
Yeah. So you recorded here at Key West. What was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. I think. Well, just professionalism here, especially with Nick. He just knows what he's doing, and it's an honour.
Because, like, we weren't... Obviously, we really liked the song originally, like, when we first, like, kind of... When Alex first brought it to us, and then, like, we all added our different parts. And like, I was a bit over the top with the drums on quite a lot of it, and it's, like, all the tips that Nick would kind of say. It was, like, because we weren't, like, 100% on it. Like, we didn't fully know what we were doing, but then yeah, Nick really helped us out. We've got like the proper sound for it now, and it sounds amazing, and I think everyone will love it when it releases.
So it was still like a positive experience, even if it wasn't the cozy.
No, definitely,
absolutely. I think the amount I'll let you speak in a sec, but the amount of ideas that Nick had, and he just took it to new heights, and we're really happy with the final product when we eventually get out.
Yeah, no, we changed. Well, he kind of changed the synth part like as soon as we gave it to him, because Alex was the one to come up with the original synth piece, and it was very like cohesive all the way through. You know, it's quite a simple thing. And I guess to Nick, with his production ears, he was kind of like, I think this would sound better. And just, I don't know, being with someone with that amount of professionalism and knowledge of stuff that can make a song sound so much better. And now I like it a lot more.
Have you got any new projects that you're working on?
We can't tell you that.
Yeah, that's classified stuff.
I think we're constantly writing demos. I mean, well, us three usually bring good, like, new ideas to the group and yeah. just...
I write songs.
Yeah.
I wrote a song in year 8.
A song like 4 years ago. No. No, we're constantly bringing, like, I'll send demo videos, or like Alex and Ava will put like produced tracks into group chat and we'll just develop on them. Me and Ava, we got one in the works from you, haven't we? So
yeah.
Oh, we're not allowed to say that.
We've played it live a few my times, bad. So it's kind of
yeah.
See it live. If you want to hear it, you've got to come to a live gig. So yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, we've already talked about your image. What's the dynamics of the band? Do you have any certain job roles, like booking gigs or managing the Instagram? And your
I mean,
aesthetic?
Finn. Yeah, Finn's
just everything.
Yeah.
Don't flatter me, guys. No. yeah, can I have the mic, please? Yeah, thank you. No. Oh, no, I won't take all the credit, but I'm always like wanting to get out there. And I think we can always go bigger, and so I'll always like DM promoters or contact who we know to give us opportunities. Yeah. I think it's always worth it.
Yeah, Finn's like our manager basically.
Yeah.
I can't lie.
And I don't think like a lot of like upcoming bands in the era seem to not realise how easy it is, because like we've been asked quite a few times about like how we get like quite a lot of gigs in places like Joiners or Heartbreakers, places like that in Southampton. And it's that easy. You literally just message a promoter and send them a good video.
Material and stuff.
It doesn't even have to be like a professional video, and then you just send it, and then...
Well, I've always found that like the way you behave at a venue or in front of promoters is very important. Mm. I mean, we've had incidents in the past, but I mean, like, if you behave well and you show respect to a promoter, they will consider you for further opportunities, which is important if you're in this stage.
Just be nice to people, bro. Just be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think about branding, or does it come naturally?
I think you always need to think about branding, but yeah, just you should naturally, the branding comes to you, but you have to make sure you stay on top of that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After we found the colour for our profile picture, we took that and we used that exact colour for like all of the promotion stuff that we do on our Instagram. You know, we had this phase where we would dress in like black, white and red as well. We were like, oh, let's coordinate colours and... because again, I do everything on Pixar, so it's so easy to get the same thing over and over again. But I think that worked for us, that pink colour. But we might be moving out of that.
Ooh.
Huge moves. How did you think of the look of your Instagram page? Well, you kind of already.
I think we decided, like, with the colours that came about like December last year, I think. Yeah. But a lot of people will just post things on their Instagram, but I think, I know it sounds like we're just trying to be different, but I think if we have a nice looking page that catches people's eyes.
And it looks professional, I'd
say. Yeah. If it catches people's eyes and it's vibrant colours, I think entices people to come back.
And there's something I've never liked, because I've always, I don't know why, I've never liked it when people in their bio of a band, and they'll put like guitar, blah, 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 singer, blah, 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 drums, blah, blah. And I don't know why. Like loads of people do it. I think we did it originally. And I think before you were in the
we
band.
We have a play a bit on our Instagram, but it's more of a highlight.
And but I don't know why. I just like there's nothing wrong with it. It's good. It shows like it kind of gives your audience the names, obviously, so it kind of helps them connect. But I've just personally never liked the look of it, and I think our page looks a bit more professional without it.
Right, so connections are very important, obviously, for like getting gigs and stuff, especially like local bands. Do you find that quite a natural thing to do?
Well, in local scenes, there's always people milling about. I mean, you guys are in a band yourselves, so there's a lot of overlap between people you know at gigs, so it's just about who you meet, really.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time it's like, I used to be like a really like anti-social kind of person. But when, I guess the more that you gig and stuff, and also the more people you meet, like, you really start to like build a connection with people. Just like naturally.
Strangers.
Yeah. And
like meeting strangers.
Yeah, and it's nice to know when, because we were at a gig last night, we were watching you guys, and I had this moment when you guys were playing and everyone was like vibing, and I was like, wow, everyone's here for like the same reason. And I was like, that's really cool. And once you acknowledge that connection, that everyone's kind of on the same level like that, it gets really easy to just like become friends with people and then build those connections like that. And that's what's really cool with the music industry, I think. Yeah. Everyone's quite, like, I used to think, oh, people don't really want to talk to me. I'm just going to be yapping about my band and like, they're not going to be like, oh, shut up about your band. But like, really, everyone just wants to like help each other out.
Yeah, because everyone's in the same boat.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
And it's really nice.
I think it's like, what was I going to say? I was going to say about like bands that you meet that you've never met before. Because obviously we've met you loads. Like, obviously we go to the same college. You used to go to the college. And so we already knew each other like outside of like these like Rosewater and Leeway. But I think it's when you meet people, like we played with a band called The Mez a few times. And it's just like, once you make a connection with like the members of another band or just another band's music in general, you need to hold on to it like regularly. Is that, have I said that right? Regularly. liking their posts, commenting, little stuff like that. It just keeps that connection there. Cause like once that's gone, it's like you can rekindle it, but you don't really think about it.
Yeah.
So you've just got to like hold on to it, and then that will introduce you to more opportunities.
Yeah. How do you connect with your like fans, both online and then in person?
When we were releasing the EP, Finn organised quite a few live streams, and he's done one as well with the Haldane Effect as well before that gig. And I think that gave everyone a chance to ask their questions. You know, we're never like snobbish or whatever at gigs. You know, we always like to talk to people because, kind of like what Alex said, we're all musicians and we all need to be there for the same thing because that's a really important unity to have.
Literally, I agree with exactly what you said. I mean, the live streams were a good place for people to ask questions about what's going on with the band, what current events we're doing, and I think that's important.
And live streams really boost your like profile, like algorithmically.
Yeah, and then also, as Ava said, meeting people at gigs, like people coming up to you going, "Oh, great set," and that. It's like it's good to actually talk to the people who have come out and taken their time to come and watch you. I think that's important.
In terms of like social media, do you guys like pay a lot of attention to like the whole algorithm?
We do a lot of the hashtag stuff. I mean, we did we kind of played the algorithm a bit by we thought with to promote the EP. Ava did some paid promotion. We're now on 1,000 followers due to that. That video got thousands of views.
We were about 800 a few weeks ago, and then since we did the paid promotion, it just like shot up.
So yeah, you could say we bought it, but like,
yeah.
You know, it's a good idea to do those sort of things because it gets pushed out, and we've worked hard for it. So
especially with like your EP coming out.
Yeah, exactly. You want to get it out there. You want people to see it.
Yeah, during that paid promo reel, we actually got played not by choice or with permission, but we got played on a radio station in Jakarta. To some other bands as well. So they must have found us and enjoyed the music.
I mean,
and some of the people that, because we all have access to the account, I'd go on there, I'd see like, oh, this person has started following you. I'd look at their story, they'd be like supporting us and promoting it, and it's so nice to have an audience like that.
Especially people that you've never met, because it's like, a lot of the time, it kind of feels that maybe sometimes when people come to your gigs, it's like, you kind of have that feeling, it's like, are they coming because they're my mate, or are they coming because they like the music?
Mm.
And I think seeing stuff like that kind of like proves that it is the music, and it's like, it's just a really nice feeling.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So do I.
You said it.
How do you prepare for a show? Like, do you have any kind of, I guess, like rituals or stuff that you do like every single time?
I think...
I don't know, we just go for a KFC sometimes.
Yeah,
that's always nice.
No, it's lovely.
Appreciate it.
Like you just did.
We'd get a Burger King every time.
It's always
good. My mum would buy us.
Yeah, the Heartbreakers Burger King. No, I think, we always get the sound check done, and then usually we just walk around. I mean, Southampton, where the Joiners is, there's like a big square, loads of grass, nice park, so we just walk through there, explore.
You just hang out like a group of friends, you know? And I think, because I get like well nervous before gigs, so it's just nice to just like just chill out together before your gig, and it just builds your connection more, and you feel more like tight and like ready, like connected to play when you go on stage more, because you're just going there to have a good time, you know, that's all it is. And so it's just nice to have that.
Yeah, because you're there to make, like, obviously you're there to share your music, but you're mainly there to make memories.
Exactly.
Like, for yourselves and the people watching. And it's like getting some, like, I don't want to say lesser memories, getting some, like, filler memories.
Yeah, filler
memories.
In between
moments.
Yeah.
Okay.
words, you.
What's the biggest challenge of being a band in a small town, and how do you overcome it?
Well,
travel. Because, like, a lot of the venues we play at are places in, like, Southampton. And it's, like, getting there. Like, I can't drive yet.
Yeah,
you can drive, but
yeah, Finn's the only person who can drive.
That might help. So we rely on our parents a lot to take us places. And like a lot of the time, someone will like say like, oh yeah. a lot of the time, someone will like say something like on the because we've got a Rosewater group chat and a Rosewater and parents group chat. We don't really use it anymore because obviously we've kind of like
we're growing up.
Yeah, exactly. We're growing up now. Well, I don't say we're growing up now. I just did.
Okay. No, about like in a small town. I mean, yeah. So always be nice. Well, no, I'd always be thankful for our parents. But getting around can be difficult sometimes. Like none of us have vehicles, but in a small town, I think, especially Gosport, it's like I don't know if anyone's been big out of here. It's like there's not a lot of attention. Like we're not on the map, so
yeah,
it can be hard being noticed sometimes.
But Gosport is lovely, though.
Yeah,
like as in for the music scene. I mean, like, cause it's nice seeing that everyone like come down. I think a lot of people like. Well, at least we have a lot of friends at Gosport, and like it's nice seeing everyone come down to I don't know, like Katie's Vinyl Bar or like 33 Green Bottles. We never played 33 Green Bottles, but it's nice to see everyone come down, and we'd like to play there. So.
And I think also as well, because the music scene here is quite small, it means that everyone who's into music is going to them specific places. Yeah. And there's maybe like three places, like obviously Q West here is amazing venue to play at. Katie's is really nice. 33 Green Bottles seems really nice. But it just means that if you want to go see some music live, like in the area, everyone that wants to do that is going to them like three places, but I can't really think of any others. And it just means that you connect with more people because it's not as spread out.
You've got a really good sense of community. Almost.
Exactly,
And you've got, you're kind of in the middle of Southampton and Portsmouth.
Yeah, and that does make it easier.
I feel like there is a lot of potential here for like gigs. And
definitely.
Do you find it hard to reach a wider audience outside of your local area? Obviously, we've talked about
not with social, like, because nowadays with social media, you can get your music anywhere you need, you know? I think.
Well, yeah, that is the power of the internet. You can harness it to like your benefit, I think. Just like if we were to put a bunch of gig posters in town, or we're playing in Southampton, playing in Portsmouth, I doubt the outreach on that would be very high. But so yeah, it is a bit difficult.
Yeah, we definitely have it a lot easier as a band in 2024 compared to if this was like in 2006 or something, you know.
Yeah.
What would be the best way for people to support your band? Sorry, did I jump in there?
No, it's alright. I didn't really have a good.
I mean, the best way to support us. I mean, stream our music. It's on all platforms.
Comes
I mean,
gigs.
Follow us on all social medias.
And like, yeah, and like.
Facebook. At Rosewater Indie on everything.
Rosewater Indie. And like, help boost the algorithm so it can spread to more people. So like, comment on videos and posts. Like them, share them to the stories. It's like everything helps. And also, mainly just come into the gigs. Like, we love seeing everyone there, and especially if you like come up to us at the end of a gig, it's like, it's a great feeling for us. It's like, hopefully, a great feeling for you lot. So yeah,
great. We're gonna do a little quick fire kind of game to ask some questions about
how
are we doing this.
How I think, right, everyone just shout out name of who you think.
Okay.
Am I doing the first one?
Point?
Yeah.
Point?
No, don't point. That's rude.
No, because then they...
you! This one!
Yeah, be like, calm, answer this question.
No. We all just say it on this at the same time. Just
quick
fire.
We
think, yeah.
Just everyone, just first thing that comes to mind really quickly. Okay. Just shout name.
Okay, let's go. Which of you is the most likely to forget their instrument at a gig?
Alex!
I reckon Alex, yeah.
What? What?
Mainly things like leads and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who answers the group chat the least?
Cam.
This man right here. Yeah.
I didn't even answer the question.
I'm 90% sure that Cam doesn't have access to the group chat anymore. Because he just doesn't talk. But to be fair...
It's ultra rare when he replies, or even when
and
he
it makes it even more special.
It's like a celebrity is coming to the group chat.
Yeah,
like, oh
when he makes his cameo appearance in every episode, yeah, it's just
cameo.
What an intentional.
Who's always late to rehearsals?
Always late.
Alex, right guys.
Alex was late. Alex was 4 hours late to a sleepover around mine, and I'm
100% sure Alex could be late to his own house. Like, no. Just late to everything.
Okay. Who's the most prepared for rehearsals?
Oh.
In what sense?
Stumped us.
Do you mean, like, in terms of what gear you've brung, or, like, who, like, learns everything?
Brang?
Has brung?
Brought.
I didn't think so.
I think it's brought.
Who's most prepared? Will, you are, because you have to bring a whole drum kit, so you're all there.
Yeah.
Let's have one for equipment and one for content.
Ooh.
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 Wait, so what? Who's always got their equipment?
You know,
I don't.
Cam always has his equipment.
Yeah, Cam shows up, he has his equipment, so yeah, we'll go Cam.
Although he did forget his in-ears one time.
Oh,
yeah, but that's...
Please.
That's give or take. That's
I forgot mine as well, and I was just...
That's Wait, what was the other one for?
For the actual rehearsal itself, like the content.
Who's prepared? Yeah, Ava always knows the parts.
Yeah.
I have my laptop and my guitar.
Nice.
And my presets and yeah, thank you guys. It's a great instrument. It's not the question.
It's just so great.
I just need to talk
about
so
it. Great, man.
Who messes up the most during a gig?
I think we'd all say this.
I think I would say myself as well, but that's because you focus on yourself the most when you're at a gig.
Exactly. Who has the best stage outfits?
Oh, it's you. It's Ava.
It might be me, guys.
Yeah.
No.
Could it be me?
No, I think Will dresses quite well.
Will,
he wears a suit for nearly every gig, so.
I think Cam.
He's consistent with
his thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Shirts. He wears a really nice shirt. It's not that one. I'm a shit.
Oi.
Hey.
Family friendly.
Bad.
He writes, I own like 3 clothes anyway.
You've got good.
Okay, yeah, the clothes that I do own are pretty cool looking, but there's not much variety to my wardrobe. That's the thing. Yeah,
yeah, but it looks good.
Yeah.
I think everyone looks quite good on stage.
We try to coordinate. I know.
We try.
Kind of.
Who writes the most lyrics?
Who writes the most lyrics?
Alex. I mean, Alex or Finn?
I think Finn has the most banging lyrics.
I think who writes the most songs, Alex, but who writes the most lyrics, Finn? Because Finn's songs are like longer, not in a bad way, in a good way.
Just drag on.
And also, the choruses are more. Like, I think a lot of your choruses are quite like
pop based.
Yeah, exactly. And in a lot of them songs, like especially in one of our songs, "Am I Gonna Stay Here Tonight?" The chorus is just saying, "Am I gonna stay here tonight?" like a few multiple times.
Yeah.
But it's great. No, I love it. I think it's great.
That's what makes it catchy. About
"It's in the City."
Yeah,
no, it's the same.
I think Alex's are more catchy. They're catchy, but I think some of mine are more word based in a sense. Like.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Facts, man.
Facts.
Who gets distracted or sidetracked the most?
Will
Casey. Will. Oh, Will. You could probably already tell from this interview, but yeah, he's a very attentive person.
Attentive.
Yeah, there you go. Proves my point.
Who in the band's most likely to start a jam?
Ooh.
I'd say Finn.
Me or you?
Yeah, I think.
I think.
I would jam if you were doing like some drum beat, and I'd just play something along to it.
I think I'm the one that say like, "Oh, should we just jam?" And then you'd be the one that actually starts the starts off with whatever we're about to play, and then I just match to that.
When we had technical issues at the first Joiners gig, you guys did
start. Yeah, we played Sissy Strut.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Except I didn't realise that we were playing it, so I was just going like.
I just started playing the riff. He just started just shuffling to it.
The jazz musicians in the crowd going, "What is he playing?" Just Sissy Strut.
No, one guy was just going, "Oh my god!" He was the only guy in the room that knew what that was.
Last question, and the quick fire round wasn't very quick though. Who acts the most impulsively on stage?
Alex or me? Alex.
Yeah, it's Alex.
Because he just like
just goes crazy.
You just feel it, man. Great to see.
Yeah, you just feel it, bro. Thanks, man. Feel the music, guys.
Don't know why I did that.
What can we expect from Rosewater in the future?
I think, well, so now, so far, we've dropped 2 EPs. Mm-hmm. I think, are we going to go for a more singles route?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we're in the new year.
Yeah.
In 2025, I'd like to have headlined a gig.
Yeah, we would love to headline. That would be fun.
At a place like Joiners.
Yeah, Joiners would be lovely.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful venue too.
Can I say this? You're going to want to expect more merch.
Yes, we're going to get some merch in.
Yeah, we'd love to get some. We'll probably get the merch done first and then the headline gig afterwards, because it'd be a bit silly if we did a headline gig.
And no merch being sold.
Are there any new directions or projects that you're excited to explore?
I think it might. For me, it's the merch, I'd say, because it's very new territory. We don't really know what we're doing. My mum is a graphic designer. That's kind of the only experience we have with that whole thing.
And we just like looking cool in cool t-shirts and stuff. So
I think, yeah, we've never been a merch band. So like, I think it's cool to dip our toes into those walls.
Dip our toes.
Hey, come on.
It's a saying.
No.
Get rid of him.
What's some advice you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Don't let people judge you or tell you not to do it. If like they think it looks silly, just like trust yourself.
Be nice to people, especially your friends.
Yeah, support.
Yeah.
Don't waste time. Okay, live.
If you like,
pretty comprehensive.
Don't be wasting your time.
Whoa. So cheesy.
If you like music, then be really passionate about it and show up to those gigs and support.
Do it right.
Exactly, and support those local bands. Go to the venues, buy the merch. You know, that's what we're all here for.
I think as a band, it's like at our age, 17 going on 18. I think we'll find that like in the next few years, we're coming up to a due date where it seems we're running out of time to be big or be cast aside. So I think it's sometimes hard to just appreciate what we're doing and be in the moment.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure. Yeah. Sometimes it feels like a lot of pressure. But, you know, that's just the vibe.
That is so true. Do everything you possibly can to do what you want to do. And then that's probably only like 40% of what you actually can do.
There's always
and then
more.
Do more. Will Casey.
True.
I'm not going to drop it.
Expensive microphone.
Okay. What is your band's guilty pleasure song?
As a whole band?
As a whole band.
This is a question of. This is always sort of an answer to.
I quite like playing Trees by 21
Pilots. Sorry,
we
used to play
I
that.
Quite liked playing Trees by 21 Pilots when we were in year 7 and 8.
Anything by Olivia Rodrigo.
You just need one answer.
Wait, but as a whole band?
Yeah, as a whole band.
I don't know.
It's got to be Ride.
Yeah, Ride still is a good song.
That was like the first song that me, Alex and Cam played when we were like Optimum.
No, I'm pretty sure that was Stitches by Shawn.
Stitches!
It was as well.
You covered Shawn Mendes?
Let's not even get started
amazing.
On Radioactive by Imagine Dragons.
Oh.
You guys were horrible before. Like, before me and Ava got
here. Me and I joined and we're like, what the hell is this?
Which one is it? Which one's the most one. Guilty?
No, Ride, 21 Pilots.
Ride. What's your favourite original?
I'm going to have to say One of a
Kind. One of a Kind, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, speechless. Speechless.
It's not out yet, so I can't really.
Oh.
That is true. That is
classified.
That is true.
It's not here yet.
So oh, okay.
We'll see.
We'll just have to wait.
For the moment.
Do you guys agree One of a Kind, yeah?
I like Roses.
Ooh. Open
I
Water.
I like, I'm not gonna say. The censored title.
Okay. What is your collective favorite song right now?
What, like place. Outside of the band? Like
yeah, cause... just the song.
Sex by 1975 is pretty good. We used to play that at like the end of every gig when we still did covers.
Yeah, but like right now.
I like a lot of Fontaines. I feel like we're getting into Fontaines more.
I've never listened to Fontaines in my life.
No, I've got a best mate who just won't stop listening to them. So yeah, kind of have to. Yeah, you as well, mate.
Things are actually quite into quite different stuff. I feel like so it's kind of hard to think of a.
I'm still stuck in the '60s, to be honest.
I haven't moved on from like, cause I'm really into like generic pop. Like 5 Seconds of Summer, like One Direction. I love One Direction. And like, yeah, that type of thing. We're all into two different things to kind of have a collective thing.
I think that's important though when it comes to writing, because then we can have these ideas from all the decades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a specific song that maybe you bond over?
Silence.
Specific song.
And I'm thinking.
Easy thinking,
Finn wouldn't be in the band if it wasn't for Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger.
Oh my god, yeah, I agree. That's like one of that was the first time me and Alex like ever played a song together, like ever jammed or anything, I think. It's a good memory.
That's a whole different story though.
Okay, I've got to explain it. I can't just ask
that question. Yeah, you have to explain this.
Every single episode, we're going to ask everyone to leave a question for the next guest.
Oh,
so, last question was, what's your shoe size?
Asked by Owen Vincent.
11.
I've got really small feet. 7.
I am also a size 7.
7, 11.
5.
Thing. Oh, okay, I've got both.
What do you know, I think,
it's either 10 and a half or 11.
Yes!
They've been wanting to know.
Right.
What's our question?
I have a question for the next band.
Yes. Go on. We don't even have to ask you that.
Do you know
go
who
on.
The next band is?
Would you rather... No, I can't say that.
No.
Who is the next band?
No, it's going to be... do we... Oh, it's... No, nah, whoever the next band or artist is, what do we wish to grace them with?
Peace, prosperity.
No, I mean, that's very good,
that's
but.
Terrible.
Oh, wait, when's the next band being podcasted?
So it'll be the 4th Friday of December.
So Christmas question.
It's not after Christmas. How about? What did you get for Christmas?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
What's the worst present you got for Christmas?
That is good.
That is the question.
Worst present.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I had lots of fun. Thank you.
Just
thank you for having us.